This is a Hot Pie Media original. Welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards. I am like elated. Okay, I'm slightly over caffeinated, but I am like super elated about sharing the conversation and the interview today with Josh Cliffords, the founder of Freewater. You guys are going to trip out because if you think about changing the world and you don't know what to do or how to start, or this idea is too big, fear not. We are going to talk today about someone who is doing that and who has wanted to quit every step of the way, but he kept going because his purpose was so big. It is mind-blowing, incredible, full of statistics that are going to blow your head off. I cannot wait to share it. It's going to leave you feeling inspired and you're going to feel like lit up. I guarantee it. Alyssa's in here. My friend Ebi's in here and they both feel it too. So I am so excited to share this today. Little bit of stuff up top. Please subscribe, rate, review, all those things helps this podcast grow, helps voices like Josh's today get out and amplify in the world and make this a better place. So please leave a review on Apple reviews if you haven't yet. If you have, thank you so much. I will be reading those on my Monday episodes because we have two episodes a week now. Woohoo! We have a solo cast on Mondays and we have our interviews on Thursdays out every single week. So do subscribe and also sign up for the newsletter because I have all sorts of stuff that I'm working on too that I want to be able to share with you. So subscribe to my newsletter. It's at amyedwards.com. Super easy, not spammy at all. And then also you can find me, of course, on the gram at Real Amy Edwards or on TikTok at The Magic Babe. So let's get to Josh Cliffords today. Josh is a tech entrepreneur. He is completely game changing. You know how you hear that analogy where they're like, oh, if you feel like the market's saturated, think of the water aisle because there's all these different types of water and there's always room for another one. Well, imagine that, except you completely turn the water aisle on its head and make everybody rethink everything. That's what he's doing. And it's so cool. So I'm so excited to hear what you think of this. Please let me know in the comments. Let me know in the reviews. Email me, amy@amyedwards.com. Love to hear from you. And I just know this is going to speak to you. If you want to check out more about Freewater, if you want to advertise with Freewater, he tells us how in the episode, but also you can simply go to their website, freewater.io. They're also on TikTok, very active there, freewater.io. Those are the best ways to find them. So I'm super excited today to share this with you. You guys are going to love it. You're going to love it. It's Josh Cliffords from Freewater. I'm going to start us off by taking a sip of your sweet water, Josh. Mmm. It's good.
It is, right?
It is. Where does your water come from?
Today, we're outsourcing all the water from different manufacturers across the U.S. So this water was from northern Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia is actually pretty famous for their water because they get so much rain and it fills up the aquifer.
I had no idea.
I didn't either before getting into it.
Okay. So thank you again for coming today. I'm excited to talk to you. The more I read about what you're doing, the more excited I was. My partner is someone who builds water wells for people in need Africa and has a foundation for that called Fight for the Forgotten.
That's awesome.
It is. And so I'm already like in the water space and I've thought about it. And so seeing what you're doing, and I know you're pushing for more than water as well, is really cool. So I just thought it's so inspiring when someone has a big idea and then actually follows through on it. So congrats to you. And I just wanted to hear how you came into this and ended up here now.
Yeah. For my 30th birthday, I sold everything I owned to do a trip around the world.
So you're pretty young. How old are you?
37 now.
Okay.
And so, my goal was 100 countries in 4 years. And it was supposed to be, you know, one of those trips. And I was on country 25, month 8 or 9. I was in Rome for 5 minutes. And I was really moved by the story of two Nigerian refugees. Both of these guys had PhDs in architecture. They built skyscrapers and they were forced to leave their countries. And at the time, no matter what your news source was back in 2015, CNN, Fox, didn't matter. It all said that all these refugees were bad people. They were extremists. They were this, they were that. There's a reason why they left their country. And I definitely disagreed. And so I canceled my trip around the world. I made a nonprofit called Save the Refugees, and we helped more than 10,000 people in 18 months.
Wow.
And during that time, we spoke to every person we could, and we realized roughly 20% of them had left their homes because they didn't have access to water, food, or medicine. So we dug a bit deeper, and we realized 35 to 40 million people die every year because they don't have these essential goods.
Right.
And we wanted to figure out a way to do something about it.
Yep.
So here we are.
So here we are. That's, you know what, my partner does that. And that's one of the main things that he discovered too, that people just simply don't have access to clean water. Right.
It's not just clean. I mean, it's everything. If you just give everybody on earth a bar of hand soap, you save 10 million lives like that.
Wow.
And so it's, these are really solvable issues.
Yes. How do we solve them? Right.
So our idea was, we were thinking the nonprofit system's a little bit broken. Because there's a reason why the Red Cross hasn't, quote unquote, saved the world yet. And we felt like it was unfortunately because nobody would make money off of it. Nobody's profiteering off of helping the environment, saving these lives. And also with my experience, I founded two nonprofits in the past. When you run out of donations, you're out of business. And so we figured it had to be a for-profit, and it needed to make saving a life for the environment as easy as eating a free slice of pizza. They're drinking a free water.
Mm-hmm.
And so with free water, working backwards, it only costs roughly $5 billion to end the global water crisis permanently. Government could do it in a second. Coke or
Jeff
Pepsi.
Jeff Bezos could write a check.
Any of these people could. but most people don't want to because water is a publicly traded commodity, just like pork bellies or anything else. And when the powers to be get their ways, they want it to be $50 a bottle.
Right.
And so we knew it had to be outside of government. And so when you do the math, we currently give a minimum of 10 cents from every beverage to charity.
Mm-hmm.
We'll only need 10% of Americans to save money and drink our free product. And now we've donated enough money to solve the global water crisis permanently. Just getting people to save money.
And using the system in your favor.
Yes.
Rather than the one that was set up.
Exactly.
I mean, that's exceptionally transformative right there. What has it been like as you've developed this? Like, what have people said to you along the way?
So many things. It's just been so, it was really difficult. Now the ball's already rolling down the hill. So it's
right. I feel like
different.
The boulder is like over yeah. the hump.
You know, from the beginning, it was really difficult. I don't have a background in tech. I couldn't even use a computer when I started. I didn't know how to type.
What? So what's your background?
The person who never paid attention in school. I had a gym for athletes when I was younger in LA.
Okay.
I spent 4 or 5 years traveling the world. I was in the army for 2 years, but just a mixed bag of nothing.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Of no purpose, no real direction kind of a thing.
Yeah. And so when I realized this was possible, I had to teach myself how to use a computer from scratch before I could ever discuss about the software or technology or. So from the beginning, it was an uphill battle. Everybody said it's not possible, let alone you can't make these things free, let alone negatively priced, because this is free plus charity.
Right.
And we still earn a profit.
That was one thing that kind of amazed me about it, because I was like, and he's donating this to charity.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of mind bending that you could be negatively priced and still earn a massive profit.
That's, you know what? It's those kind of thoughts, though, that really drive innovation. Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. They call it a moonshot when you're doing something that's so impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are so tiny that, you know, it happens or it doesn't.
Did you want to stop?
Every step of the way. I wanted to quit the very first moment I realized this was possible, because my wife and I were semi-retired living in the Mediterranean.
So you were already married when you were traveling the world? Or
I met my wife while volunteering with refugees. She was also a volunteer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then, yep, we ended up, we haven't left each other's sight since.
Okay. So you're living at the Mediterranean.
No, we're living in a small country called Montenegro, mm-hmm. in a small Venetian castle town called Kotor, which was about a 30-minute bus ride to the number one place to visit in Croatia called Dubrovnik, where they filmed Game of Thrones.
Sure, I've wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Our rent was $300 a month to live on the beach.
Okay, this is sounding great.
And easy. Very easy.
Yeah.
And so first thing when I realized that I could do all these things, I tried to forget all about it because it's like, we're really comfortable. Do you really want to rock all these boats? Do you really want to piss off the biggest companies in the world and potentially feel the wrath of that? Because they're not going to be very happy about all this. And after about 100 days, I just felt so guilty. I just stopped everything and started working on it 100 hours a week.
You were like, I can't not do it.
Yeah, just it's a guilt factor, because if you could help 40 million lives be saved a year potentially, how could you ignore it? And so at the hardest moments of anything, every moment of wanting to quit the whole step of the way, it's just like, oh my God, no one else is working on these things. You have to keep going.
No one else is doing it in this way. Yeah. I mean, people are trying to work on things.
So yeah, people are trying, but you know, I don't see other projects having such an easy way to finance these things.
No, they don't. As somebody with an inside look at a nonprofit,
that builds water wells.
That builds water wells, which they do. They have studied how it's been done for sure, and they acknowledged that many times the charity comes in, builds the water well, and leaves, and then
it breaks.
The community ends up with a broken water well. And there's like, I can't remember the number, but
more than $1 billion was wasted in the past 5 or 10 years just in Africa alone of U.S. donations, mm-hmm. because the water well will fudge it up somehow.
Right. So what his does is they work with the community to figure out the best way for the water well, and the community builds the water well and then can maintain it and has a stake in it. So,
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a better system and it's growing. But
then the question is how to finance more of those projects.
Which is what we were just talking about. So then you're in a situation where you're like, oh shit, now I've got to fundraise. I've got to figure this out. You know, we have to raise more money in order to make this happen.
Yeah. And so now it's as easy as saving money on water,
which we're drinking right here. Okay. And mine has Page Music on it. Page is getting a free plug right now too. It's got your TikTok. It's got QR codes everywhere. So like I could advertise my show.
You could advertise anything. We'll put anything that's not harmful, hurtful, or fake news. And so fake news has come up recently because some politicians are now starting to reach out or their agencies and like, what could we print? What can we not print? It's like anything but fake news.
So can they advertise their own campaign?
Yeah, 100%. But what we've told them is if it starts to get out of like vote for me or vote for this proposition, or if it's like about their competitors, we might slip in a piece of paper saying you guys are financially responsible for up to $10 million in damages.
Oof.
And so
good.
Yeah. We don't want to be the Facebook of free groceries. We want to be the Google or the Bitcoin. You know, Google's everybody's search engine. We want to be everybody's free grocery source.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's move into that. So this goes beyond water.
Yeah. The original vision was, okay, there's all these problems in the world. What if Target was free? And everything in Target was free, but not only free, but donated to its own cause. That's the water, that's the towels, that's the anything that you sell in a Target. And so how much money...
So towels are donating to like cotton farmers or something.
Anything to a different charitable cause.
Charitable. Okay. Yeah.
And so there you have it. Anything that's currently sold in a Target, Costco, Walmart, pretty much on Amazon, will have ways to make it free in the next handful of years. Actually, negatively priced.
Doesn't that mean like there's a free for all stampede on Target?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, like Black Friday, people go crazy. But sure. If Black Friday was every day, it would just be...
It would just even out.
Because people are always like, if you have a free supermarket, I'm going to steal all the strawberries because I love strawberries. But what are you going to do with all those strawberries if you manage to steal them all? You're going to have to...
You're going
to
try to sell them? People can go get them for free.
Yeah, you're going to try to go sell a free strawberry. And if you did that, the advertisers are still going to get their impressions. They're going to get more impressions.
They're going to get more.
And so, but it'll be say free supermarket, but it would be more like a free Amazon. It would be delivered to your house ultimately in the future for free, all of your groceries. So the right amount per household, just right on your doorstep.
It's kind of like driving down the street and seeing a billboard. Like we're using the street.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a mini billboard in your hand.
It's a mini billboard in your hand. That's what I was thinking of it like. And so how much does it cost?
There's a number of different factors. We offer today aluminum bottles or paper cartons, and we'll soon offer.
Yeah, the bottle feels good, by the way.
We didn't want to make water free and do in a plastic bottle.
I know. I feel guilty every time. That's what we have in here. And I'm like,
So the real question is, why would an advertiser choose this over something else? Right. And so believe it or not, junk mail, the stuff in your physical mailbox at your home, still has the highest ROI in the USA ad industry.
That's shocking.
More than Facebook, Google, any app, anything.
That's really why
it doesn't disappear. And in that industry, the status quo is to send you that piece of junk 10 plus times before they give up on you. And so the cost to send a free floating piece of mail with a stamp is minimum, like for the crappiest piece of junk mail, 35, 40 cents.
It's expensive. I did it once with an old business that I had, and it was like a nice card.
That adds up. I spent
so much.
But so you look at it, you throw it away, you look at it, you throw it away. That's their impressions.
Yeah.
So cost of 10 impressions is roughly $4.
Okay.
Or you could spend at scale $1 on this, and you're going to look at it 10 times before you're done drinking it. It's got a 2-year shelf life.
I've already looked at Paige, like, I've already wondered who she is. And then you've got on here, I think, the charity that it's donating to.
So we had a contest on TikTok. Whoever created our favorite 3 videos would get ad space. She is a musician, and she made us a free water song. And so she won. It was like a beautiful acoustic guitar song.
Cool.
And then the second place winner is someone who has muscular dystrophy, and he's an influencer trying to spread awareness about it.
Yeah.
And then
the DMD guy.
And then another nonprofit that gives Legos to disabled children in need. And so those were our 3 winners. So we put them on the packaging, and here they are.
It's badass. What did you, okay, let's travel back in time a little bit to when you started this up. What did you do when you started it? Like, you were already facing, okay, I have this big idea. I feel like I have to do it. I don't have any training. So what'd you do? What'd you start with? Did you write it down? Did you start talking to somebody, studying? What'd you do?
Started doing a lot of research on YouTube. I can't read very well. We think now, my wife and I, because we think I have dyslexia maybe. So
sounds
I'm not
like
the best reader.
Mm-hmm.
And did a lot of YouTube videos. And the problem was, we were living in a 2,000-year-old castle with like 500 people in our town. So you can't create a tech company from a 2,000-year-old castle. And so we moved
maybe
back.
Maybe you can. It's just more challenging.
Definitely. So we moved back to my wife's country, to the Belgrade, Serbia. So we were in Eastern Europe. Smack between Austria, Romania, Hungary, a bunch of different countries, and just started educating myself. And in the first like 6 to 12 months, I was just trying to give the idea away. I was trying to reach out to the Elon Musks of the world or anyone out there, like,
let's
please
take the lead.
No, just take this idea. I don't want it, but like, you guys could do so much more with it. And then of course the Gates Foundation, no one else replied. And then it was just like, okay, I guess I have to do it. And so failure after failure after failure times a million failures. And eventually,
what does that mean? Give me an example of one.
Well, I'm a horrible writer. And so I would try to write like a white paper or a document. I'd send it to people. People wouldn't even look at it because they're just like, what the fuck is this? Like, it looks like crap. And then, I'd reach out to companies. I was originally trying to launch it in Berlin or London because I really enjoyed living in Europe, the European lifestyle, walking everywhere, walking to the farmer's market every day, looking at all the old architecture. And all of the European angel investors or venture capitalists I spoke to said, this is new technology, and we don't do new technology in Europe. We wait and see it happen in America, and then we either copy it or invest in the company in America.
Wow. I had no idea.
They're like, other than Skype, that's no new innovation really comes from Europe. And so you're from California. You need to go back to where you're from and go launch this in Silicon Valley or something. And so after hearing that over and over and over again, we moved to the Bay Area. I was in the Bay Area for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Learned some more hard lessons there.
Like what?
getting involved with the wrong people, pretty much, or
money wise or for the business?
Both. It was before it was this startup, it went by a different name. I was just in a big rush because I wanted to save lives. I felt like every year that the full suite of free groceries weren't in Americans' hands, 40 million lives are gone. So hurry up, get this going. I thought I met the right people. I didn't.
Did you have any, when you say I didn't, I just want to ask this really quick. Were there some red flags in hindsight? Did you feel like, no, I really thought this was, or are you able to go, I noticed this little thing that I was in a rush. And so I just figured I'll be fine.
So there were red flags in hindsight, but I didn't have the education that I know now. And the hardest thing about doing a startup is you're not paying anybody a salary. And so you really, now I've narrowed it down to three things that we're looking for any job. Number one, the person has to be financially stable, not just for a month, but minimum 12 to 24 months. Mm-hmm. That's obviously hard to find. Number two, we're looking for nice people, no assholes. And so that's about half the population. and then number three, which is almost as important, the most important, they need to be willing to iterate as many times as it takes to get the job done. Like tear down, rebuild, tear down, rebuild. Okay, I thought I finished that 6 months ago. We have to tear it down and rebuild again, because that's what it takes to make good technology.
Wow.
Or good consumer products. And finding that those three combinations, and for any person or any job, it's really tough. And so going back, those people did not have those three, especially the willingness to reiterate as many times as it takes. Some of these people are like, I turned it in. That's it. You know, I work at...
We're done.
I work at Google. I work at General Motors. I work at these places, and I don't have to work this hard at these companies.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between if you're doing something from scratch, making it all from scratch, or if you work for the man, you could be a little lazier.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about that as a mindset, you know, because I'm sure for you, even that was a learning experience. Well, I'm guessing it was a learning experience because you want to just do it and have it be done.
Yeah. It never happens as fast as you want it.
No, we're doing that at this podcast network right now. And it's just like funny to think of it. It's a concept that can apply to wherever you are. You can apply it to your life. You can apply it here. Like we're having to tear some things down and rebuild and restructure. And it just takes taking a breath and being open and willing to do that rather than so attached and holding on so tight.
Yeah. You can't, you just have to be willing just to keep going and going, make it better and better and better. And
do you have nervous breakdowns?
They're definitely,
what are they like? I want to know.
There's been some really low lows and some really high highs. I think that's the same with every project. But
how'd you get out of your low lows?
I have a great wife who really supports
this. So good.
And then...
do you think you could have done this if you'd been by yourself?
Probably not. And then... other than that, you just have to keep pushing the why, you know, saving those
checking
lives, helping the environment. Like that's really, okay, crap, just keep going. What can you do?
Yeah.
But that was the problem of moving from the project from Eastern Europe to America too quickly, maybe, was if you make a mistake in Eastern Europe, it doesn't cost you anything because my rent was $200 a month. But if you make a mistake in the U.S., now all of a sudden
Silicon Valley or
you
Austin.
Owe $10,000 or $20,000 and there's only so many mistakes that you could afford to make.
Oh, for sure. Because if you're talking about needing runway to live for 24 months when you've got $300 rent versus Austin rent.
Yeah. I mean, in the Bay Area, I was living and they call it a hacker house, like a hostel for tech workers. And so I was in a 1,200 square foot house with 25 bunk beds. And for my bunk bed... For my bottom bunk in a crowded room of, I think, 8 bunks was $1,100 a month.
Holy crap.
And then it was a really dirty house. And
so this is like a bigger scale, the TV show on HBO. I'm blanking
Silicon
out.
Valley?
Mike Judge. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like that. But their hostel was like the Taj Mahal or like the Marriott compared to where I was. And then, you know, you've got 20, there's sometimes more than that because some people would just rent their bed for 12 hours a day because they're like a night worker or a day worker. So you'd have two people in the same bed, you know, just swapping out the sheets and then doing their thing. And so
I don't have any concept of what really goes into this.
And so I woke up super early every day just to get into the really grimy, disgusting shower before anyone else could.
What time?
4:45 a.m.
Okay.
It was just, you know, and then eventually a venture capitalist said, you shouldn't try Austin. And I was like, well, what do you mean? They're like, it's up and coming, but you know, they've got this slogan, keep Austin weird. A free supermarket's pretty weird. This is the Bay Area. You'll obviously do great anywhere, but I think this will be better well-recepted in Austin. And so my wife and I moved here about 90 days before the pandemic started.
Where'd you grow up?
In Los Angeles.
Okay.
And then, yeah, just kind of started over. And
then the pandemic hit and you were like, I guess we'll keep working.
That was really stressful in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the pandemic was a huge opportunity because, you know, all of us, everybody was waiting in these really long lines to get into HEB or Trader Joe's or whatever. I was giving out free beer prototypes. I would literally buy thousands of beers, cut the labels off of them, the shrink sleeve, print out like a really ghetto label from my printer. And then I would go to the people in line and pitch them and be like, this is meant to be water, our first product. We will get into free beer. What do you think about this? What do you think of the ads? What kind of phone do you have? Can you scan that QR code? Did it work? You know, so it got a lot of feedback. I realized how large or small a QR code had to be for certain types of phones, even if they were old. And so after giving out, you know, more thousands of them, it really accelerated everything.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a lucky, unlucky situation.
Well, it was almost using the situation to your own advantage too. You were like, how can we do this? Okay, fine. We've got a captive audience right here.
They weren't going anywhere.
They weren't going anywhere.
And everyone was happy to have a free beer while they waited in line to get into HEB.
Yeah, I would have. I mean, you have to pull your mask down, but everybody was freaking out. But other than that.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. What have been some of the biggest growth moments for you, even maybe let's say since you got to this point where you were like, okay, I know what we're doing. What have been some of the biggest things for you?
So my last like real breakdown was right before our first official pallet of water that we had manufactured came. And I was just thinking like, oh man, I've already went out of pocket $250,000 plus on this. I was in horrible debt, possibly looking like I would have to go bankrupt over all of the debt for the project or who knew. And I'm just thinking like, I know it's going to happen, but am I going to be the one to get this done or not? And then I'd always look at the Austin housing prices and then think like, man, for $150,000, I could buy a condo on the beach in Southern Spain. Maybe that's let's just chop it up early.
We tried.
And we tried. I'll go get some beers and free tapas and we'll live the rest of our life. We'll learn some Spanish. My wife's just like, no, the water's coming. When the water comes, you know, it'll be different. And so the water came. We started giving it out and things happened, but not as fast or as well as I thought it was. Most people thought I was crazy just in the streets giving out free water. People thought I was going to try to preach the religion to them or something.
What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Why are you giving me this?
Exactly. And then a girl from UT said, I want to be your TikTok intern. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, I just want to post a couple videos for you from time to time. And she only posted 4 or 5 before she quit. And one of the videos got like 50,000 views in a day. And it was just a video of her giving the water to somebody. And then that's when I was like, wait a minute. When I had my refugee nonprofit, we would give, you know, goods to the refugees. I would make videos for the donors. That went really well. I'm good at giving people free stuff and putting it on camera. Maybe that's the ticket. Because when that happened, we got a ton of traffic to our website. And that one video was worth more than $3,000 or $4,000 of Google or Facebook ads. Because I've spent that money and saw the crappy results that we got. And so I was like, wait a minute, maybe we should just go all in on this TikTok thing. So in the very next day, we go out there, we're giving a bunch of water. We get this, I think guy who was visiting Austin from Peru at the time on camera. And then bam, 100,000 views in one day again, and then a flood of traffic.
Wow.
And then we just started pushing out the water, getting as many people on camera as we could. And then the TikTok thing just really blew it up for us.
What is the response on TikTok? Like, what do people say?
At first, it was the usual response, like, oh, you're crazy. Oh, this is snake oil, or oh, this, or oh, that. But most brands never respond to comments on TikTok. And I responded to every one of them. And then people were like, oh, it's a brand who actually talks to you. And then I noticed about 2 weeks later, if a naysayer was in the comments, people would answer the comments for me. And then it was just like, oh, okay. And then it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And so we've raised $250,000 since September. Half of that came from TikTok. Half of my team came from TikTok. It was just a huge differentiation factor.
When you say you've raised...
Investment.
Investment?
Yeah.
Like how? Like investors saw you on TikTok and then were like, I want to be in on this?
We currently have a $7 million plus dollar valuation.
Congratulations.
It started, by the way.
And good.
People would just reach out like, I made a lot of money in Bitcoin. I need to get involved in this. I know this is the next Bitcoin. Like, let me get involved. And I didn't really want to. I wanted to just do it all out of pocket.
Sure.
But it just got to the point where I was putting, you know, my family under too much financial stress. And It was time to let outside investment come in.
Are your parents involved in this at all? Or are you?
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
Just you.
Yeah.
When you say your family, it's like you and your wife and
our cat.
Kids and your cat. So the bigger picture of having the supermarket.
Yeah.
That's where it's going.
There's many ways to make products profitable at negative prices. I figured out about a dozen or two dozen different ways, but there's really long ways to do it. And then there's really short and easy ways to do it. Mm-hmm. And so there's really created two main categories of free, but there's some subcategories for some odd types of things like pharmaceuticals or clothing. Those are their own categories.
Pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, of course. All that's,
oh, shit.
That's why I was scared to do all this stuff. Cause it's like, Do you really want to make, you know, big pharma free?
Pissed off at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because they're holding onto their profits, their massive profit margins.
Yeah, it's scary.
Those fuckers.
And so the first category of product is meant to disrupt the direct mail industry. That's the junk mail in your mailbox. And so I call it BVRE, below the value of the real estate, which means if you transform a product's packaging into ad space, that covers the cost of the product, its manufacturing, its distribution, our donation to charity, our salesperson's commission, and our profit. And that works for water, soda, beer, weed, most groceries, toiletries, household cleaning stuff like Windex, whatever, low-end pharmaceuticals, certain types of clothing, and every type of public transportation. You know, if you threw ads on that bus and did it right, it would pay for everything.
Yeah.
And then there's the everything else category. I call it AVRE, above the value of the real estate. And so that works for products where if you put the ads on it, it wouldn't pay for the whole thing. Or a product that they would never let you put ads on it. Like, let's say a $300 bottle of whiskey. They would never let you throw an ad on there. And so when we launch that, that will be a YouTube competitor. And so YouTube and TikTok charge 40 cents a minute to advertise. We will charge 40 cents a minute to advertise, but we're going to pay our audience 37 of those cents in our future cryptocurrency, the free water coin. So that means people are going to get...
Hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We'll go backwards.
Hold on. Yeah. Just let's review really quick. Yeah. Okay. Tell me one more time.
YouTube and TikTok charge 40 cents a minute to advertise.
Got it.
We're going to charge 40 cents a minute, but we're going to pay our audience 37 of those cents.
But where is this minute?
In ads, just ads.
Just ads on.
It'll be within our future app.
Okay. On your app. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
got
so.
It.
It's not the sexiest thing, but we'll basically be paying Americans $21 an hour to watch ads, help companies with their SEO, example, make a TikTok video for them, or write a blog.
Okay.
And help train our future AI algorithms. And so at $22 an hour,
$22
an hour, many Americans that can't make $15 an hour would jump on that in a heartbeat.
For sure.
And so, you know, then... You're like, oh, I want an iPhone. That's $1,000. Well, okay, at $22 an hour. Bam.
Yeah. How many hours? Do the math.
Yeah, exactly. And so there you have it. And so in that second category, it's really anything that's within a $40,000 a year salary.
Okay.
Because because if you did that 40 hours a week for your job, that's 40K a year. If you did it 80 hours a week, that's 100K a year.
So these people are basically paid to look at ads?
To watch ads, give feedback, and then help these ads scale through SEO.
Okay. So it's helping the whiskey company see what works and what doesn't.
And helping them share it, helping them to the whole nine yards. And so it will...
Okay.
So it'll be a YouTube competitor. Again, we didn't make these prices. YouTube charges their prices. Uh-huh. TikTok charges the same prices. These are the set video player ad prices for most platforms on the internet. Mm-hmm. Just those companies are keeping all the money. But we will give most of that to the audience.
Wow. And what happens to the rest of it? It funds the app or whatever?
Yeah. I mean, we don't even really need that money because Freewater is so profitable. We won't. I mean, it's really just the icing on the cake. And so, but that will enable your MacBook to be quote unquote free, right? Someone needs a MacBook. Someone needs a whatever. I need to pay my rent. I need to, bam, there's your $22 an hour.
And anyone can do it anytime. And there's no limit
there
to
won't
how
be.
Many.
No, it'll be up to them.
This is great.
And so it's different. And so that's how you can make anything within the department stores free. And so at first, before we ever carry MacBooks, we're just going to make the Apple website free. You'll go through our website. You'll be like, I want the iPhone. Apple gets their asking price. We charge 2%. They've monetized their time at an amount no one else will let them.
No one else.
And
right.
So what it'll ultimately be, it'll probably be like a Visa card in your wallet or purse. Mm-hmm. And you're just swiping it. Go to Whole Foods, go to wherever you want, Trader Joe's. Swipe it on any website and you're like, oh, I need more money. Bam, 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 bam. Now it's charged. I have cash. Go for it.
No wonder you're impatient. You're like, this is the end game. I see it. Because that's a really huge, ambitious goal.
Sure, I guess. I mean, I just, again, free supermarket, free Target, free whatever you want to call it. All mm-hmm. these things are free, but then they all donate to these different causes. That donation to the different causes is really my only driving force here.
Yeah. So there was BVRE, AVRE. Was there another one? I thought you said there were three.
There's different systems for different types of products.
Okay.
Like if you wanted to get into pharmaceuticals, it would be slightly different. If you wanted to get into clothing, it would be slightly different because there's fashion elements involved. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
I kind of wondered about that when you were talking about, let's say, cleaning products or whatever. You know, where does that leave choice? Like, what if someone says, yeah, but I like the taste of this water, or I like the way that, you know,
the beauty is we could white label just about anything in the world. That means get pretty much the highest quality, same product you get and put whatever you want in the packaging. That exists. Most companies do that. Most cookies you buy are the same cookies that other brands use. Mm-hmm. They just white label it, put their own ad on it.
Really?
Yeah, so many of the brands.
They're not making their own cookies.
A lot of times, no. And so, but let's say you're just like, I don't like this free tequila. I really just want a bottle of Don Julio. Mm-hmm. Well, then you have the AVRE category and that'll be 2.5 hours. Bam, you got your $50 bottle.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so.
No.
It's going to unlock a bunch of freedom. That's the goal here. Most Americans, if I were them, I would at that point be living on the beach in Costa Rica, just paying my life that way. And what are you going to do with all this free time is the better question. Mm. And if money wasn't a factor, you know, like, I don't know how much your family spends a month on your car, your groceries, your clothing,
so
your
much.
Internet, your,
yes.
If you added up all of that stuff together, it's more than $20,000 a year. Because just the car, the average American on their car is $10K a year, just that.
My rent is really expensive. And then everything else on top of it, I'm like at $9,700 a month or something like that.
So, but if these factors weren't there, mm-hmm. would people go have the same career? How many people choose a career simply for the financials of it?
Oh, I'd say a really high percentage.
And so... You know, I have a friend who went to medical school to become a doctor just because he wants the money, mm-hmm. but he doesn't want to be a doctor.
No way, really?
I would much rather...
He doesn't want to save lives and heal people?
No.
Okay, that's heartbreaking.
And so I would much rather have him do what he really wants to do.
I want him operating on me. That's
but how many people are in that situation?
I don't know. So what about you personally? What do you see? Do you want to be rich?
I really don't care.
Really? You really don't care?
Who doesn't want a bunch of money? But at some point, if you already have enough money to eat whatever you want and go on vacation whenever you want, does it really change after a certain level? I don't think it does. Mm-mm. And so I'd much rather just bring it in and give it away.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a lot more fun.
What about things like college?
All that stuff could easily be in that AVRE category.
That's what I was wondering.
Easily. But I would tell any American, don't go to college in the US, because my smartest friends all went to college in Europe and got their bachelor's, master's, or doctorate or medical school done for next to free.
Oh, really? Americans can do that?
Mm-hmm.
They don't charge you out of state prices?
No, zero. No.
You just go?
You just get in and go. And you pay very little.
Oh, shit. My daughter is applying to colleges right now.
Yeah, okay. I would never, if and when my wife and I have kids, would never let them go to school in the US, just because my wife got her bachelor's degree. I think the total cost was $50. And that was the cost to print out the diploma.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
But she lives over there. She's a citizen.
I could have applied and gone too.
Really? What are we doing?
I mean... Not everybody's brave enough to go to school in a different country, though.
No, that's true.
And so I told some people that went to school in Stanford when I was in the Bay Area, asked them how much they spent for their bachelor's degree. And it was something like $350,000,
mm-hmm.
with the housing, the food, the whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also explained to them that it only costs $15,000 a year for a young person to travel the whole world. If you're staying in hostels or cheap Airbnbs, all your food, all your drinks, all your party, all your bus tickets, museum tickets, whatever you do, $15,000 a year. And so where do you think you would learn more, those 4 years at that school or going and traveling the world for 10 years and having $200,000 left over?
No question.
And so I'm not a big school person.
I mean, I started a business, a boutique, a little shop retail for 5 years. And I really was like, I got an MBA. Like, I know I didn't go to school for it, but I learned a lot.
The hard way. But yeah, it happens much faster.
It happens much faster. And I made enough friends in business as well, where I learned that we all have the same problems, just in totally different ways.
Even if you get the degree, you still have to learn the hard way afterwards. It's not like the degree is going to get you around learning the hard way.
Right.
As soon as you try something, you're going to learn the hard way. And from those failures is when something great will hopefully happen.
You sound, speaking of learning things, you sound pretty involved in the crypto space and all that. So tell me a little bit about how your learning curve has been for that and how you're seeing that.
So the crypto space is the wild, wild west.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's probably 10,000 or 20,000 projects in the world. And I think maybe 1% of them aren't scams, and all the rest of them are scams. Literally.
Scams meaning they just want to take your money and that's that?
Yeah.
Can you give me an example of a scam?
Sure. I remember in 2017, 2018, before that little bubble burst and went down, and now it went back up and now it's going down again. But back then there was something called the fuck token.
Okay.
And it was for people who don't give a fuck. And the commercial for their thing said, we're the fuck token. And if you like a content creator on the internet, show them that you give a fuck by sending them a token. And if you don't like their thing, then you don't give a fuck. Don't give them any. But that thing, I think, got to like a 2 or 2.5 million market cap before it crashed down. I'm sure whoever owned that probably had most of the cash in their pocket. And they're all, I mean, some projects have really amazing use cases. Such as giving everybody access to wireless internet or whatever they do. But a lot of them are just copying the exact same sort of format as Bitcoin. How many tokens do you need that do the exact same thing?
Yeah.
I don't think very many. I mean, how many credit card companies do we have? Like 5 or 6, like Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover.
Mm-hmm.
Not many. How many tokens do you need that do the exact same thing? I think 5.
Probably.
Maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really depends on what they do. Most of them are pretty scammy. A lot of them get a bad rap, like Bitcoin, for being not eco-friendly. Some are more greener than others, but Bitcoin is meant to replace the entire financial institution in the world, such as banks, all of everything, physical buildings. And so it is debatable that Bitcoin is far greener than all of those buildings and all of those systems and all of those.
I get your point there.
So it's, you know, there's different ways of doing it. But in the stock market, we have quarterly earnings every 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in the European stock market, I think it's biannual earnings twice a year. In the crypto market, there's zero earnings reports. There's zero transparency. I know people who had projects, you know, 4 or 5 years ago that got robbed for $200 million worth of Bitcoin, and it never makes the news. And the token never, it went up the next day. But if Microsoft got robbed in such a horrible, the next day it would, you would notice it.
I mean,
and so that's what's scary about the crypto market. It's like, it is like the dot-com era, you know, in the 90s. Anything dot-com was worth a whole bunch because no one knew what a website really was or what you could do with it. And then when people realized a website can't do that, then they crashed. And, you know, out of most of those crashes, you had an Amazon, you had a Google, you had an eBay, you had a Yahoo, you had
big some players that emerged.
Yeah. And you'll see that with the crypto market.
And that's very interesting. Yeah.
But there'll still be, the big crash has not happened.
Yeah. Huh. I feel like I barely have a tenuous grasp on what it is. And I try to learn about it, but not as hard as I should. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's digital money.
Yeah.
Digital money.
Sure.
For the most part.
I just, when people say they're mining it, I'm like, what does that mean? You know, but I've,
for the most part, that means their computers are doing, solving problems to make the coin happen. Mm-hmm. And by them, by those computers operating, it's processing the transactions. And it's, that's the mining of with those computers is why it's not eco-friendly. Mm-hmm. But nothing human is eco-friendly, and no app, no, I think it's like if Kim Kardashian or someone of that level just sends out a message on Instagram, the amount of energy that it takes when you have that big of a following, you could power like a, you know, like a 5,000 hometown or something.
What?
Yeah, it's ridiculous how much energy anything software takes. And so it's not just crypto, it's everything. It's Instagram, it's Facebook.
Wow.
It's, yeah.
You have a pretty good head for all these statistics and stuff.
I'm a slow learner. It just eventually seeps in. And
no, I don't know. You downplay your...
It's our industry. I mean, this is the industry that we're in tech. And so you need to know what exists and what are their problems if you want to solve them.
Yeah. And, but I mean, you have a mind for remembering these things.
Once it's in my head, it's hard for me to forget.
It just has to get in there.
Once
it
gets
in there. It has to penetrate into there, and then it's in for good.
The simplest things I can't absorb if my life depended on it. But
difficult things like NFTs and crypto, you're like, okay,
more difficult than that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really good at dissecting the layers of things. I think that's what I do better than anyone I've ever met. So like if you imagine like you open a book, and you look at the page, you know, you could look at the letter, the word, the sentence, the paragraph, the page, the book, the books in the bookstore. The bookstore is in Austin. Austin's in the US. US is in the world. And you could look out from the galaxy sort of thing. I'm really good at dissecting those layers and looking at other people's companies and being like, 25% of your processes shouldn't even be there. And they're just there for no reason, wasting you money and energy. And so I'm really good at looking at those and removing the unnecessaries.
So how many people do you have working at your company?
We currently have 7.
That's it?
Yeah. So far, because it's hard to find people that fit those 3 things, you know, the good financial situation, nice people, and are willing to do whatever it takes until the job gets done. And so we're not in the biggest rush and we don't have to.
How have you allowed yourself to slow down and not be impatient?
I can't, and I haven't.
It seems like it's a challenge for you.
It's really hard. It's easier now because everything, we're in a good spot. So right now I've gotten the project to the point where the worst possible outlook is we become the MySpace of free supermarkets and somebody squishes us like a bug by opening a better free supermarket that donates more money to charity.
Okay.
If that happens, I'm really happy.
Yep.
But I think we'll be recognized soon as being the next Google-esque company. And so
if
the worst case scenario is that,
yeah,
that's great.
I mean, you really think that's the worst case scenario?
100%.
100%.
100%. Because it's number
one. So this is happening.
It's happening.
It's happening.
And I didn't patent any of these things. I open sourced it, which like I blabbed about everything on the internet to make sure nobody could patent free water, free food, free medicine, free anything. So I on purpose, I made it a foot race. So we want Coca-Cola to copy. We want Pepsi to copy. I mean, we want them to advertise with us. They would save millions of lives. But
yeah,
you know what? What's going to happen is they definitely know about us because the world's largest companies are now starting to reach out and inquire. And we tag Coke, Pepsi, and all these companies in most of our videos. So they have to see them.
Wow.
And so eventually they'll copy.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they'll probably just put ads on the can of Coke and they'll sell it and they'll discount it like a nickel. But we're hoping that they copy the charitable donation. Let's say even if they just did a penny to any cause, whatever it is, water, okay, anything. But if you think of the economies of scale, that would be one of the largest redistributions of wealth in human history.
Wow.
Because those companies are that big.
Yeah, they are.
And so they'll copy. I don't think they'll go free. They'll just go ads and they'll mm-hmm. sell it at a discounted rate. But then we'll keep applying pressure. We'll get bigger and bigger. And then eventually they'll go free. And then they'll have to go negative.
Wow.
And so right now this is 110% off, free plus charity. But when we build out our infrastructure, then you're going to get free local delivery. And then we're eventually going to pay you a little bit of money to consume the free product.
And which was that next step.
So I would say, you know, 10 years from now, these will be discounted at 150% off, but still extremely profitable. And so our life goal is to always have the best negative price in the world. So if somebody tomorrow says, oh, we're free plus 15 cents per charity, we'll go 16 cents.
We're going to negative prices right your ass.
Yeah. And if they copy, that's
great.
Amazing.
Great.
Because
problems to have.
Yeah. The only way for them to copy is to manufacture more responsibly, to save money off not doing all the bullshit that they're doing.
Right.
And to streamline it because green is more profitable. And so they're just choosing the not green route.
Well, they try to say it's not.
Well, this is the problem. Everything that, where do you shop? Like what's your number one supermarket?
H-E-B.
Okay. Most products that you buy at H-E-B or anywhere, mm-hmm. if you dissect all of the pieces of what's in the box and then the plastic and then the packaging and you tracked every single thing down, a lot of these things have traveled 10,000 miles before they've gotten into H-E-B.
Wow.
So like let's say a box of Cheerios, for example.
Okay.
It's just corn and grains. That's probably from the US. There's sugar. The sugar came from maybe Florida, but maybe, you know, Puerto Rico or whatever. But then you've got this plastic bag that came from oil, probably from Saudi Arabia. Then it went on an oil tanker, got shipped to China, which is the largest producer of plastic pellets in the world. And either they created that bag for them or they shipped the pellets, mm-hmm. you know. And then the box and the printing and the ink. And a lot of these companies even outsource their printing to Amsterdam or other parts of Saudi Arabia. And so when you start dissecting...
Are we counting where the trees were chopped down and then how far they traveled?
Not even. And so when you check every stop on what they call the supply chain, mm-hmm. a lot of products sometimes have, like from raw material to discarded material, 25 stops even.
Okay. So we're taking that out.
And you still buy the box of Cheerios for $4.
Yeah.
And they're making
which
a profit.
Which is insane.
But with modern technology, that could all be done in one place. You know, there's vertical indoor farming. A couple acres of vertical indoor farming is the equivalent of hundreds of acres of land farming with a fraction of the water, no pesticides. 3D printing. You could make boxes. You could print anything right on the spot. And so if they wanted to just do all of that in Austin, which they could then sell you that box of Cheerios for $1, $1.50 and still have their margins. And so that's what we're going to be ultimately doing, everything vertically integrated like that. but then just slapping the ads on it and giving it away for free.
Mm-hmm. So where are you making these bottles?
So these bottles come from Ball. They're one of the biggest manufacturers in the US. And so this still has a decently long supply chain because, again, we're outsourcing.
Well, I'm sure today. It's a work in progress for you.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah. Today's horribly inefficient. 0% where we want it to be in the future.
That's okay. You gotta have growth.
Yeah, you gotta start somewhere.
You gotta start somewhere. So that's all right.
And so, yeah, the future is free, but the future is local.
Mm-hmm.
Getting everything done locally, highest quality, and just taking care of everything on that same spot instead of having everything circle the globe for no reason 5 times.
Yeah, no. Why do we need to do that?
We don't. And okay. So it's globalization. Companies decided a long time ago, like, fuck being green. Let's outsource and pay someone $1 an hour in another country. And that's more important to us.
But why?
It's been going on for a long time now.
Oh, that's the way we do it.
That's the way we've done it. You create a company, you copy everybody else, and
this is the system.
That's the system.
Shrug.
And so people don't change it. And so I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, we don't think about it. We get busy and then we're like, well, I don't know. It just here it is. It's just easier.
So, like, ultimate full realization. All of your groceries will be manufactured here locally in Austin, and they'll be shipped locally to your doorstep for free. Free products shipped to your house for free, plus the charity. And then we'll have our own trash can in front of your house, and you'll throw all of that stuff in there, and then we're going to collect it and recycle it ourselves. So fully circular system, all at one location, every city in the world. And while doing that, it improves efficiency more than 50%. You'll see, it'll be ridiculous. And so that all that cost savings is just money in the bank.
And then what do we even spend our money on?
Go on vacation. I don't know.
We may not have to pay for that.
You won't.
Maybe there's an ad on the airplane seat.
That would all just be that AVRE category.
Yes, it really would.
And so, I mean, it's definitely different, right? Mm-hmm. But we were recently in New York last October. We were a water sponsor for the American Cancer Society's Breast Cancer March. And so my wife and I, we were walking around the city after. We're in front of the stock market. And I was explaining to her, there's zero negatively priced companies in the stock market because we're the world's first negatively priced consumer product. And so we'll be the first in the stock market. But I see it 80 or 90% of those companies, you know, in 10 or 20 years, all being negative too. So what will the global...
That is a wild statement.
What would the global impact of that be?
I can't imagine, actually. It's really hard for me to figure out what that would be.
So the beauty is when something costs money, there's really one winner and one loser. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to buy an iPhone and you get it at a really bad price, Apple's happy. And if you get it at a good price, you're happy. There's one winner, there's one loser. But if Apple gets their asking price, and you get it for free, and we
win-win.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that will accelerate really quickly. And so today companies compete to see who could screw over the consumer or the environment or the local community more. But if you
that's a pretty jaded outlook.
Well, I mean, but if you go negative, the only way I could pay you to drink that water is if I have to put money in your purse, mm-hmm, or I have to donate it to charity. There's no other way to get a value better than zero. And so at that point, companies are competing to see who could pay the consumer, help the local community, or donate more to charity. And that's the sort of competition we want to be a catalyst for building instead of it like, oh, how, you know, like a McDonald's or whoever could cut down every tree in the rainforest to grow beef. But if their stock goes up a small percentage, the world will be okay with it.
Yeah.
It seems like. But in the future, I believe these companies will compete to regrow that rainforest or to repay your rent or...
I love it.
It's different. It's just...
This is...
It's a 180.
You want to transform the world. You want to transform our systems. And that is incredible. Yes. Yeah. I mean, the answer is yes.
Yeah. I think everyone's going to be pretty much on board. And who doesn't
I mean, why wouldn't you be?
I have no idea. I mean... if you could donate to charity for free by saving money,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's incredibly cool. What do you consider your like life philosophy or something within you that drives you that maybe isn't necessarily the company or your first purpose with it?
I think it's to have good life experiences. Like just go travel, go do stuff. Don't put yourself in that small little box. Most people are like, oh, I got to get a job. I have to get married. I'm going to go get this degree. I'm going to have kids by this age. Mm-hmm. I'm going to own my first house by that age. I think that's all. It's great, but it's really limiting.
It's kind of more what we're taught to do, just like these companies subscribing to old ways without a lot of thought put into it.
I think it's better just to go do what you want. It might sound crazy, but what if you go take that trip around the world? If you come back in 2 years, everything else is going to be right where you left it. Like it's not, if you quit your job and go on this around the world trip or go climb Mount Everest or go do the thing that that person wants to do, you're going to easily find a better job when you come back. Because what, you know, employer's going to go through the resume, like what qualifies you? And they're going to be like, wow, this person just did all these things. I want to do those things. I'm going to talk to that person about it. Mm-hmm. Here's your job.
And I trust that they learned a lot.
Definitely.
Because you do so much value.
So I would just say, you know, don't sell yourself short. Don't just subscribe to something just because everyone else is. Ask more questions.
And you definitely do that. How do you handle stress? Do you have certain things that you do every day that, or like, what are some of your regular habits that you have to keep yourself in the right mindset and things like that? Do you have reminders around your house or what is it?
My late mother was a college professor, but also a hypnotherapist. So she taught me a lot about like positive thinking, breathing, but I haven't been doing any of that stuff as much as I should be just because things have been so busy. Right now, it's just pretty much Groundhog Day. Keep pushing 7 days a week. Usually wake up around 7:45. I don't shower anymore. I'll take a bath now just because I could respond to every email from there. I can't do that from the shower. And then usually the day will end at like 1 or 2 in the morning. And then it's just 7 days a week forever.
Do you think that some of that hypnotherapy and breathing stuff is maybe you've done it enough your whole life that it's ingrained in you a bit? So you, when you hit those stressful moments, what do? Can you slow down? Can you tap into some things?
I can, and it definitely is helpful. But I mean, there's just always going to be stressful moments, right?
Sure.
And it's part of life. There's nothing you could do about it. I think they're good because I've never learned as much from the happy moments as you do from the stressful moment or when you really screw something up royally. Because when you really mess something up or something bad happens, you have to figure out a way to keep getting beyond it. And then that's where the growth is, right? Like being uncomfortable is where the growth is. If you're fully comfortable and everything is going your way and everything, what do you learn? I mean,
you don't, right? You're just comfortable.
So that's, I think, the best thing that's happened from this whole thing. Being uncomfortable for so many years going at this, just learned a lot because I'm the person who learns from my mistakes, and I've made mistakes every step of the way.
Good. Good. Well, you can either learn from them or make them again. So yeah, congratulations on that. So what's next right now?
We've got a lot of advertisers specifically for South By. This is one mm-hmm. of them right here. And so we've got a few events, and then we're also going to do what I think is the most significant part of our South By. We're going to do our first pilot delivery neighborhood. And it's really simple. We're just delivering water to 50 plus houses in a row. It's not rocket science. But even though it's so simple, we prove out something major that no other company on earth could accomplish, because we're the only company in the world that in the future can deliver to 2,000 homes in a row. You know, if you sell something, you can't guarantee that 2,000 homes in a row are going to buy it. But when it's free water that donates to charity or free groceries that pays you to eat it, we could go every single house in business in a row. And so it's that level of efficiency, which we'll be proving out. And so even though it's really simple, we're going to bring the water to the doorsteps the cave person way. And we're going to, mm-hmm. it's just being able to do that, that's pretty much, I think, the most significant part of our South By.
Very cool. Wow. This has been incredible. I can't believe we've already been talking for an hour and it just went by like that. Is there anything that before we go that you really want to say? I feel like you've said some incredible things. So is there anything that you want to reiterate or say before we wrap up?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, free groceries, free all these things, it's going to happen. It's more than possible. And so if anyone out there wants to do these things on their own, like, just go for it. Don't make all the same mistakes that I made. Skip all the mistakes that I made. Go straight to the front of the line.
Make your own mistakes. And make brand new mistakes.
Yeah, make some brand new ones and then just go for it. And don't just stop at free. Go free plus more. Pay the person to have the free item or pay your favorite charitable cause and then just launch it.
And I guess if you can think of that, there's a way.
There's definitely a way. There's a way for all these things. I personally hate advertising and data, to be fully transparent. And so I've created ways to make all this stuff free in the future too, with next to zero advertising.
Really?
Yeah. We just need, we need about 250 plus million to build out some new types of infrastructures. And so I call this free groceries version 0.00001, not like a long way from 1.0, but I would say 10.0 is free groceries that are profitable with zero ads. And we still make money.
And we still make money.
Yeah, still make money. And so, but the only reason why it's possible is because every company in the world, the peak efficiency of American manufacturing in the history of the USA was only 15%. In 1995. And since 1995, it's only gotten worse.
Wow.
And so with that 85 to 90% loss right there, if you think outside of the box, you could cut that down significantly. And those savings is the money in your pocket.
Wow.
And so it's getting rid of all of the useless crap that's there because it's folklore. It's just there because people copied the other people for no reason.
Yeah.
So just get rid of the useless stuff. And there's a lot of opportunity.
Beautiful. Okay. I'm going to ask you one more thing.
Go for it.
And I don't know how it's going to come out. I was just doing another podcast on another show. And the guy was talking about with great power comes corruption, usually. So how do you prevent you and this from falling into any sort of corrupt space?
It's a very loaded question. So I got to give you a few responses.
Okay, good.
So there's zero patent. No one could patent any of these things.
That
nobody
is
could patent control
too.
Any of these things. So nobody cool. can, because if you want to patent something, you got to keep it a secret and get your patent. But I've blabbed on the internet all 20 plus ways to make every witch thing free around every corner.
So that just prevents it automatically.
Yeah. And okay. So now it's a free for all. Number two, when you go negative, because we're already 110% off, you really have to get rid of all of the crap. And every stop that shouldn't be there on the supply chain is another point where corruption could get in. Someone's taking too much, something's happening, but you just get rid of them. And then number three, our goal is to always have the best negative value in the world. And so we're here. It's just 110% off. I feel like this is not even as close to as good of a price as it should be. Because I know it'll be 150, 160 one day. And that's will still make more money than you could ever spend. And so I think that goal, always having the goal of having the best value proposition in the negative zone takes care of it. Because like first there was Uber, right? And then you couldn't patent that. And then there was Lyft. And so Lyft had a little bit better of a price and they paid their drivers a little bit more. And then there was BlaBlaCar. And then there's like 20 different competitors. And every time there's a new competitor, they have to one-up the person before. But Uber's the biggest and you pay a little more for that.
They've got the lock on just what you say when you're calling a car.
So usually the first
whether it's Lyft
first
or whatever
company doesn't end up with the best long-term price. But we're the first and we're committed to always having beyond the best. And so I think that commitment right there takes care of the corruption. And then Also, if you patent something and you're the founder, and if you get in business with the wrong people, if you have to leave your company, you could no longer work on that idea anymore because the patent is owned by the company.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing there. And so like, if I ever feel like this company is not going in the direction that I want it to because we got in bed with the wrong investor or the wrong whatever, I'm just going to go make another company and put this one out of business. And so it's like, I'm doing it for the cause. And so, you know, I don't think you could stop a person, you could stop a company, but you can't stop a movement. And that's what this is becoming. It's a free grocery movement. And so like, if a politician tried to even say, oh, this is illegal, who would vote for that politician?
Mm-mm.
And then also every politician's going to want their ugly mug on your free groceries. And so it's lobby proof. It's government proof.
Lobby proof. That's what I think needs to go. So that's great.
So yeah, I mean, I just think it'll be just a matter of time before the Coke, Pepsi's or Nestle's reach out and they want a partner, because what they'll realize is, yeah, it's open source, so they could do it on their own, but they built their companies and infrastructure incorrectly for a world where things cost money. And so if they want to be competitive in the free world or negatively priced world, they have to build all of their factories completely different, tear everything down and rebuild. Why would they want to go through that pain when they could just partner with us from the beginning?
Yeah.
So.
If everything's free, does there come a time where there's no advertisers?
Great question. So get asked that a lot, right?
Oh, you do.
If everything's free, why would you advertise? Again, the AVRE category of free, like that computer,
right,
will never have the ads on the computer.
The bottle of whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they'll always be there to advertise. And number two, free doesn't mean not profitable. Like Google's quote unquote free. They spend a lot of money on advertising. TikTok is free. Lots of things are free, but they make money. They still advertise.
Okay.
And so it's, yeah, I mean, it's, I think, there'll be certain things that couldn't be free. Like, I don't think a Lamborghini will be free, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But other than a few very niche, very high end, you know, like a massive diamond, we can't do anything for you. But most things that most people buy, you'll see it all go free. You'll see the first McDonald's become free. And then all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, you'll see 90% of them be free in a heartbeat. Not because they care for, say, or that's a bad way of putting it. Well, the reason why they'll do it is because they'll make three times the money. And so they'll do the first location.
That's the way to get their attention.
And why 90% of all McDonald's and not 100? My prediction is you'll see 90% of all the fast foods and supermarkets go free because, you know, today with Spotify or YouTube, 90% of people go with the free one and only 10% of the people pay for the upgrade. And so I think you'll see 10% of McDonald's in 10 or 20 years be as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of them will be free.
Wild.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I don't eat McDonald's, but
no,
a lot of people love it. And mm-hmm. you'll see it all. You'll see Starbucks. I just had a shot of espresso before. That'll be free. You'll see mm-hmm. it all.
I love it. Wow. Well, you know what? Yes. I'm thrilled that you're here doing this and you answered the call, you know.
Yeah, it's just crazy how things happen.
I know it's crazy how things happen. And you ended up here today, and I could not be more thrilled.
Me too. And I really appreciate you having me.
I really appreciate you being here and sharing all this and what you're putting out in the world. And if anybody's listening and has a big, crazy idea, keep going.
Just do it.
Just do it. You're going to have lows. You're going to have highs. You're going to figure it out.
Just make sure that the why is big enough.
Yeah.
That like when the lowest of the lows come, you don't quit. So it should be something more meaningful than money. Because if it's just the money thing, when the lawsuit comes or the whatever happens, which mm-hmm. always does happen, you won't quit. If it has to be more than money.
Yep. Mine is just about helping people with their voice. Mine is bigger. Mine is, well, it's got to be.
Which is amazing.
You just got to proceed without making money sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, well, thank you so much. Let's cover how everyone can find you. They're very easy to find. And if you want to advertise on these, do it. I was thinking about it. I'm like, why don't I put my show on here?
Yeah. Download or listen to the podcast right off the can.
Yes. Totally. It's freewater.io.
Yeah. Our website's free. It's a common ending for crypto or blockchain projects.
I've seen it before, but I didn't know.
We're supposed to buy freewater.com. We hit the buy it now button. It was actually 20 grand. We bought it. And then the person changed their mind and took it back.
I didn't even know that was allowed.
I didn't know either. But so here we are. But yeah, and our TikTok is freewater.io. That's where a lot of the magic happens.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, people can just go on your website and there's tons of information. There's a lot of news, a lot of different podcasts that you've been on. And careers too, if you're not an asshole.
Podcast to the top of the list.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so, because I really am trying to raise voices, raise ideas, help the world transform in whatever way.
It's amazing
that we can. It is all amazing. And I want to thank you so much, Josh Cliffords. You guys follow him, follow Free Water. You're all Free Water, really. Did you have a personal Instagram? Because I couldn't find it.
No,
okay.
No personal,
I didn't think
anything.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So just go to freewater.io.
Yeah, just Google freewater and they'll find us.
And you will. And you know, get some. You brought me a case, which I'm so excited about. You guys have been drinking it too back there. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Massive thanks to Josh from Freewater for being with us today. I was so blown away by that. The possibilities are endless. And the fact that this is just the tip of, this is not even version one of what he's conceptualized. I feel like we're at the beginning of something great and we got to hear it like just right on the precipice of as it begins. I didn't say that right. Precipice as it begins. So anyway, follow them. I can't wait to see how it grows and to even be a part of it, because I'm like, oh, let's advertise this show. Let's see what happens. So anyway, learn more at freewater.io or follow them on TikTok, freewater.io. And again, that was Josh Cliffords, the founder. And as for the show, please leave us a review on Apple Reviews. We are building those up to bring you more great content, more awesome guests, and help this show grow and inspire more and more people, which is my purpose. And subscribe, rate, review, all those things. Sign up for the newsletter too, which comes from me twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays when the episodes come out. It's at amyedwards.com. And yes, new episodes are out every Monday and Thursday. So thank you so much to Alyssa, who is producing and engineering. Thank you to Hot Pie Media. And thank you to you. I'm so grateful that you're here and just glad that we're all a part of this to uplevel our lives and make things the absolute best that they can be. So I love you so much. Remember, there's no magic pill. There's no easy way. We just keep going. The highs, the lows, they're all part of life. And that's what we do. We live this thing called life and we're all in it together. So let's keep making this world a better place. Till next time.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked this show, please rate and review. It totally matters. And I encourage you to spread the love too and share this episode with a friend if you feel called.